Outsiders, Twins, Rocky, Kickboxer, Teen Wolf, Secret of My Success, License to Drive, Rambo, Dirty Dancing, Adventures of Babysitting, Fast Times, Porky's, Nico, Bond, Gremlins, Top Gun, Working Girl, Indie, Aliens, Terminator, Batman, Superman, Police Academy, All the Right Moves, The Experts, Never Treat No Surrender, Best of the Best, Bloodsport, Cocktail, Karate Kid, Top Secret, Uncle Buck, American Werewolf in London, Time Bandits, Empire Strikes Back, E.T., Empire of the Sun, Child's Play, Die Hard, Santa Claus, Frog Dreaming, Halloween, Lethal Weapon, Mad Max, Midnight Cop, Platoon, Full Metal Jacket, The Blob, Trading Places, The Great Outdoors, Nightmare on Elm Street, Airplane, Beaches, Coming to America, Dead Poets, Short Circuit, Batteries Not Included, Cocoon, Evil Dead, Ferris, Fright Night, Ghostbusters, Good Morning Vietnam.
Hello and welcome to Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure.
Yeah, episode 29.
I know, can you believe that? 29 episodes deep.
We are deep. We are deep. this is nice, man. This is nice. My name is Matt.
My name is Darren.
This week we are looking at the 1984 classic, The Karate Kid.
Yeah, a film that has never really been one of my favourites, I have to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But
me neither.
yeah, right. I think if I'd said no and you suggested it, you'd have had a conniption fit.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. But we've done it now, so I guess it's the other two to go. They're both 80s, aren't they?
Yeah, well, another three as well, I suppose. But that's...
Is that the
next Karate?
That's 90s,
though. That is 90s, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, so we've done The Karate Kid.
We have.
Another film from 1984.
Yep, we've done... Three others from 84.
Yeah, so that's all right. That's all right. We're going back in time a little bit.
It is nice to go back in time. So before we get into initial impressions and stuff, should we find out a bit about 1984 and what surrounded it? Or do you want to just kind of...
That sounds good to me. Give me some facts, baby.
I will give you some facts, baby. All right, here are some facts about 1984. So during the 1984 Olympics at McDonald's, I think it was in Los Angeles, they had a little campaign, if the US wins, you win, so they give like free food out.
Nice.
Yeah, it caused big financial losses because they won a load of medals because the Soviet countries boycotted the Olympics.
Oops.
And coincidence or not, they made their 50 billionth hamburger in 1984. That's a lot of burgers.
Isn't it? Sounds like what we get through in a week.
I know. I love burgers.
Do you?
Yeah.
Fur burgers? Or?
I didn't see that one coming.
I know. That's what she said. Hey.
Also, women didn't earn the right to vote in the national elections in Liechtenstein until 1984.
Oh, big mistake.
It's just, I told you, I'm running very low on the ground when it comes to facts.
No, that's good. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
We lost Marvin Gaye, though.
Oh, yes, of course. Shot by his dad, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. On the day before his 45th birthday. Crikey.
Yeah.
We also had the miner strike.
Yeah, thanks to that, you bitch.
And that lasted, what, a year?
Yeah, just over a year. God, it was horrendous.
Goodness me.
It really tore the country to pieces. Brother against brother, cousin against cousin. Fucking awful.
Absolutely. I mean, I was 6 in 84. I do remember vaguely seeing stuff about it, but...
Yeah. Oh, just dreadful. Dreadful. A horrible woman. Anyone that's listened to the podcast before knows about my hatred for Margaret Thatcher. I think the worst thing to happen to this country since probably the plague. And that was one of her crowning glories.
Well, we've got COVID now, so that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't got COVID. That's not the mission.
Yeah. And luckily, we haven't got Thatcher either. So let's keep it that way.
Well, and I thought I'd end it on a lighter note then.
Sorry.
No, the lighter note was Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Took down the Iron Sheik and became the WWF champ for the first of six times in 1984.
Nice. If only we had some listeners from the WWF.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah. Hogan, give us a listen.
Yeah. Come on, Sergeant Slaughter, get back to us.
So those are some of the facts that I managed to glean from 1984.
Nice.
So how about we run down the charts? I look forward to this every week.
Well, I don't think you're going to be disappointed this week because it's a bloody good one, even if I say it myself. The Karate Kid was released in Canada and the USA on the 22nd of June 1984, and so this week we are looking at the UK top 10 for the week commencing the 17th of June 1984. At number 10, it's a fall of three places from last week's number 7 for Howard Jones and Pearl in the Shell. At number 9, falling four places from last week's number 5, is Evelyn Thomas and High Energy. And at number 8 is a climber from last week's 15, it's Michael Jackson and Farewell My Summer Love. This week's number 7 is last week's number 8, it's Elton John and Sad Song, Say So Much. And at number six, falling three places from last week's number three, it's Spandau Ballet and Only When You Leave. Into the top five, at number five, it's Frankie Goes to Hollywood and Relax. And climbing 14 places from last week's number 18, at number four, it's Nick Kershaw and I Won't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. At number three, it's another climber, it's last week's number four, Bronski Beat and Small Town Boy. It's a static top two this week. Last week's number two is this week's number two. It's Wham and Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. And at number one, it's last week's number one. It's their second entry in the top 10 this week. It's Frankie Goes to Hollywood and Two Tribes. And that was the UK top 10 for the week commencing the 17th of June, 1984.
It was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah. There's a couple of songs I've heard of.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Just call me a fucking one-take wonder, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
First time ever.
That was no stumbles at all.
No stumble. Oh, there's a little stumble to it, but yeah, no. No, no stumbles, no stumbles.
No stumbles, no stumbles. Yeah, that was a good chart. So what's just outside of the chart? I mean, that's a cracking chart.
Just outside the top 10, you've got Heaven Knows I'm Miserable Now at 13 by the Smiths. Dancing with Tears in My Eyes from Ultravox at 14. 15, Searching, Hazel Dean. 16, Let's Hear It for the Boy, Denise Williams. White Lines, Grandmaster Flash and Melly Mel at 21. Jump for My Love, The Pointer Sisters at 24. The Reflex at 27. I Want to Break Free at 28.
Well, this is hell of a week, isn't
it? Stuck on You at 34. Time After Time at 36. Dancing in the Dark, Bruce Springsteen at 38. Against All Odds at 39. It's an amazing top 40 that week.
Yeah,
what a year to be alive.
Well, yeah, I mean, so you sat at home a Sunday, you're listening to the chart show, then the next week you go out and you watch Karate Kid at the cinema. I mean, I'd say that I didn't. What year did it come out here?
1984.
Yeah, good.
That was released in the last day of August, 31st of August.
Okay, so it was back in those days when we used to get it a lot later.
A lot later, yeah. But that's a pretty good chart, isn't it?
It's a very good chart.
Another beer?
Yeah, all right.
Let's get stuck in.
So before we recap, Karate Kid. So I'm interested to know, because obviously you've given nothing away so far. So, what are your feelings? Because I think we know exactly how I feel about this.
Do we?
Okay, I mean, I've grown up on this film. It's influenced me a lot. I used to have it on repeat. I couldn't go to sleep when I was about 8 or 9 years old without having Karate Kid playing on repeat. So my video player used to stop and rewind and play it again.
Oh, God. So, I didn't realise you were that much of a fan.
Yeah, well, I was when I was growing up. And it's
so therefore, it's gone into your brain while you're asleep. So the quotes are just going to be impossible.
I think the quotes are going to be impossible. I don't think I'll get them.
Oh, really?
No, I don't know, because I was 9 years old. I'm 42 now, so.
Oh, yeah, good point.
But, I mean, this film, I don't know if you know, Darren, I broke my arm when I was 9, and I got offered the choice of going to ballet or karate, and because of this film.
It's when you started ballet.
It's when I started ballet. So I did it for years because of this film and the music, and it just, I've always loved it. So it was really good to go back and watch it and break it down a little bit. I'm really interested to see what you thought of it, though.
Yeah, I think I've said to you before, it's not one of my favourites. I find it a bit cheesy, and it's never one I've really gone back to before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I wasn't overly enthused about doing it, but yeah, I was looking forward to doing it because I hadn't watched it for so long.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we did, because actually I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would.
Oh, that's really
nice. The same issues still exist for me. I think it is cheesy. I think Daniel LaRusso is a prick.
Do you know what? I like that about it, though, because if he was your clear-cut hero without any faults, then I think I'd have more of a problem with this film.
Yeah. It's very predictable, but then in an 80s sort of way. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
It is formulaic. I mean, it's no surprise that the director of Rocky.
Yes.
Yeah. And the composer,
and the
of,
composer
Rocky,
of Rocky as well. Yeah,
he did
yeah.
this film.
Yeah, that is definitely true.
It is formulaic, and it's. Do you know it's longer than I think they would give it nowadays?
2 hours and 6 minutes. Wasn't
yeah, it?
It
is.
Fucking yeah. When I put it on last night, I was like, oh Jesus, really? but to be fair, I think I only found myself looking at my watch once. So that's a pretty good indicator that I was actually into the film.
So I think they were braver in these days when they would take some of the quieter moments and roll with them.
Just let them breathe. Yeah. Yeah,
like certainly a lot of the stuff with Miyagi and things like that. So,
who I cannot fault at all.
He is fucking amazing.
I mean, we'll get into the cast later in the next part. But oh god, he's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And I've forgotten how good he is in this film.
Yeah.
There were a few points when I couldn't understand what he was saying because of the accent that he's put on.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that was maybe my old ears now, or maybe it was on Netflix. Finally, a film I wanted to watch for this bloody thing. Yeah. And it was on Netflix.
I didn't look. I'd already bought it on YouTube years ago.
Of course,
so,
you did. What? I'm not saying a word. Do you know that Netflix have got a new series out now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think they call it Cobra Kai.
Yeah, you see, now, okay, so we are doing this. Yeah, because you've watched a couple of them, haven't you?
Yeah. How long? 3 years ago it came out?
Yeah.
And I think it was like the first three or four episodes were free. Is that right?
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
It was on YouTube, yeah.
Yeah, when it was on YouTube.
So we watched those and actually quite enjoyed it.
Might be longer. Hang on.
The third series is out next week, isn't it?
But the thing is, what we've
actually,
had
to... The third series is out now, isn't it?
Yes, because we're recording slightly ahead, yeah, so I haven't watched any of the third series yet, but I do intend to watch it all in one.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Cobra Kai was, I think, first released, it's either 2016 or 2017. Oh, no, 2018 then. So we had it on YouTube, and then YouTube went, nah, we're not doing originals anymore. Luckily, Netflix bought it, gave it a new lease of life. Season 3 was already filmed before the pandemic.
Right.
So that's where we find ourselves. So I've been waiting a long time for this.
And when he says he's been waiting, he really means he's been waiting. He's been sat by the computer all day going, come on, give me a date.
This is it. So 1st of January, that's great. So that's that was a week and a half ago now.
No, it really was.
Yeah, in like real time. As you're listening to this.
Is going to go out, yes. We are now in the new year. As we're recording, we're in Twixmas time.
I can't believe how good Series 3 was.
do you want to record the other one as well, just in case?
Yeah. I can't believe how middling Season... No, it's never going to be bad for me.
Right. Well, anyway, on that note, yeah. Should we go deeper into it?
Yeah, let's definitely go deep into it.
Okay, then. As regular listeners will know, at this point in the podcast, Matt has a challenge to give us the synopsis of the film, and he gets as many seconds as the film has minutes. So, yeah. Mr. Matthew, how long was the film? We've already said
it was 2 minutes. 2 minutes long. It was 2 hours, 6 minutes.
2 hours, 6 minutes too long. 2 hours, 6 minutes long.
Whoa.
So you have 2 minutes, 6 seconds to give us the synopsis of the film. Are you ready?
I am. I'm going to take my time on this.
I'll take that as a yes.
Yeah.
Let's have the jingle. And if you're still ready, go.
Daniel and his mother Lucille move from New Jersey to LA for her new job. Upon arrival, Daniel meets Freddie, who invites him to a beach party. The tap is broken at the apartment, and Daniel meets the maintenance man, Mr. Miyagi. At the beach party, Daniel falls for Allie with an eye. Unfortunately, her ex Johnny and his Cobra Kai show up, resulting in a fight with Daniel and Johnny. Same happens the next day when the Cobra Kai boys bully Daniel at the football tryouts. Daniel tries to join Cobra Kai but realises that's the school that his enemies are at. And on their way home, they force him off a hill and he throws away his trash bike, which Mr. Miyagi fixes, and their friendship starts. All the while, Ali and Daniel are getting closer. At the Halloween dance, Daniel turns a hose on Johnny, causing the Cobras to chase him and beating him up. Miyagi intervenes and reluctantly agrees to talk to their sensei. An agreement is reached. They will settle the score at the All Valley Karate Championships, so Daniel's to be left alone to train. Daniel and Ali date, but there is no sexy time with them. Let's face it, they're too innocent, right? Miyagi's training is unorthodox, and Daniel's doing what seems like chores, but to end up being muscle memory karate technique. Daniel and Ali have a falling out. Daniel finds a drunk Miyagi and finds out more about him. He continues to train, and on his birthday gets a car from Miyagi, makes it up with Ali. At the tournament, with Ali in his corner, Daniel's doing well till the Cobra Kai's cheat and injure his leg. Miyagi fixes him up and he fights Johnny. It is two apiece, and Daniel uses the crane technique he saw Miyagi doing earlier. He lands a kick in Johnny's face and wins. The film finishes with a proud Miyagi.
Okay then. Just to remind us, how long was the film?
2:06.
2:06. You did it in, drum roll, 1 minute 36 seconds. So yeah. Well under. Way too long.
There we are.
So, if anyone's not seen it, you now know exactly what happens.
Yeah, spoilers.
Rumours.
That is it, sort of, in kind of a nutshell, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's, yeah, for me, it's just, what's really striking about this film is the fact that it's still got a legacy that's going now.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's been able to reinvent itself, pick up 30 odd years later, albeit with like newer characters and the older characters, I guess, well, they're not really supporting actually. And kind of find a new fan base.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know nothing about the new version, so I can't really comment on that.
No.
As I say, I actually enjoyed this more than I thought I would. Some of the characters I didn't like. Most of the kids I didn't like. I thought they were all a bunch of wankers, really, right, to be honest. Okay. And I definitely think the film would have been better without Daniel LaRusso in it.
Yeah.
It would have been different, obviously. It would have
been very different. Miyagi sort of training by himself, going, if only there was a kid here.
Yeah, good old Mr. Miyagi.
Yes.
But, I mean, there's definitely things to like about the film.
What I noticed today, which I'd never, looking at it critically, I'd never really noticed how beautiful it is. There's some really nice shots in there. And I'm like, oh,
the stuff on the beach especially is really good.
Yeah.
It's really well made there. I don't know. We talked briefly earlier about the thing on the internet about, is Daniel the bully or is it the Cobra Kai boys that the bullies? Come on, have a little word with yourself. It's definitely the Cobra Kai boys that start it. I watched one YouTube video where the guys are like, the first time Daniel meets Johnny on the beach, he interferes by picking up the radio and giving it back to Ali. And Johnny just passes it back to Danny. But yes, he shoves him a little bit and he falls over. And then when Danny decides to get violent, he runs at Johnny and falls over his leg twice.
That's not quite what happened at all.
Yes, you're right about the bit on the football field. He is he does try and start a fight there.
And then when everything's left alone, he puts a hose on him.
And then he carries So, I mean, there is that, but No. That's what I'm going
to
say.
I think I've read somebody who's either the director or the writer wanted Daniel to be basically described as a wimp with a chip on his shoulder.
Right.
Which...
And he's definitely got a fucking chip on his shoulder. Yeah.
I guess it's
hinted at in the beginning when it's him and his mum obviously moving from New Jersey to LA. And he doesn't want to go. So obviously there's a bit of backstory there maybe with dad fucking off with his, you know, his secretary or whatever.
No, he passed.
Prove it. Doesn't say it in the film.
No, we don't find it out in this film. No.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's backstory there, and there's a massive info dump. Within the first 30 seconds, there's the info dump, isn't there, with him and his mum having to move.
There's a funny thing as well, and I'd never noticed it until this viewing, because I've been listening to other podcasts that have done this film. I was listening to one that breaks it down minute by minute. The street they're driving up at the beginning.
Right.
It's a one-way street. They're going the wrong way.
Oh,
so you see the car coming down the street, driving up on the pavement to avoid them going up, because they're like, well, you're going the wrong way.
I didn't notice that.
But where they were filming it from, getting the aerial shot, it wouldn't have looked as good if they were coming down the street. So.
Oh, fuck it. It was the 80s.
Yeah.
Nothing was impossible. But yes, I mean, it's Jerry Weintraub produced film, and his name was all over everything in the 80s, basically, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I've lost my train of thought then. Okay. Sorry, what were you saying?
The info dump moving.
Oh, yeah, the info dump. And Daniel.
Being a twat.
Yeah, it is 6-1, though. And well, it's more than that. It's them, they do really have it out for him.
Yeah, but I don't think he helps himself. He's. I mean, there's been a stroppy teenager and there's been an arsehole. And I think he's an asshole to his mum. He's an asshole to Ali. Even though she's not the nicest of people, I think she tries, but she's a massive flirt.
Yeah, I think if I was in his position, Ali's the one worth fighting for. You know, I'd be like,
why is that then,
Matt? Because it's Elizabeth Shue. Do you like Elizabeth Shue?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. No, fair play. Good nipple.
I think that was nice. Okay, fine. Brilliant. I watched a Reunited Apart recently, and this was her first film.
Yeah, apparently so. She was at Harvard at the time, so she took a little break from Harvard to come and do the film.
And the first scene was on the beach.
Oh, that was the other thing they said. They filmed pretty much in order, which is unheard of.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
really good, though.
Yeah. It would definitely help being an actor to do it in that order, in the order of the story. Which...
And I think they did a bucket ton of rehearsals for this as well, right? So and John G. Avildsen put this together, and you can find it on YouTube. So you can piece the Karate Kids. It's pieced together on YouTube as a full
nice.
As a full burp.
Yeah, for anyone that doesn't know the way that TV and film normally works, if you have scenes set in a specific set or venue, whatever, then all of the scenes will be filmed there at once. So, you know, if you've got a scene at the beginning, a scene in the middle, and a scene at the end, they'll all be filmed there first, and then they'll move to another location or whatever and film the scenes that are all filmed there, and then and so on and so on. So, you know, the film is all over the shop. But to actually film the film in order... That's amazing, and almost like being on stage, doing a play.
It was, and there's some great locations, some really great locations in this. All the stuff with the boat, as you say, the beach.
Yeah. The only thing for me is, as much as it looks beautiful, it has a very 70s feel about it for me. Right from the start, even with the music, I thought the music was really dated, even by the 80s standards.
Oh, I'm a big fan of concert music.
I am, but it sounds so 70s. You know, the orchestration's very 70s.
Is it the horns and the...
It's the pan pipes and all. Yeah, unsurprisingly, it has that rocky feel about it.
Yeah.
So maybe that dates it a bit more than... there's nothing really electric in there. I mean, there's loads of other songs in there.
Yeah, yeah. They've,
which is great.
Some cool songs in there that are not that popular.
Bananarama. Fucking, anything that's got Bananarama in is going to get an extra point for me. But yeah, so it feels dated, even by 1984 standards. There's nothing electronic there in the score. Which, you know, it is fine. But for me, that's the feeling I took from it. It was a bit dated, look-wise and sounding-wise.
Okay. Not really thought about it. I suppose because I was so young when I started watching this, it's just become what it is. Do you know? I suppose it's like any kid watching something from, say, 10 years ago now. Yeah. They wouldn't think, oh, that looks very 2010. So maybe I just, because I've grown up with it, I do probably see it through rose-tinted glasses.
Yeah. But there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you love the film, so that's absolutely fine.
I just, it's just everything about it. I mean, I always wanted to go on a date at golf and
with
stuff.
With Elizabeth Shue.
Well, yeah. With Elizabeth Shue at golf and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, hang around the arcades, play on the little spinny
boats. Go down the slide.
Go down the slide.
Even if you didn't have a costume.
Well, yeah, I'd have gone skinny dipping.
Bathing suit.
Yes, I'd have gotten there. So, yeah, I mean, what moments work for you? What don't?
The one big standout moment for me that really sort of, well, there's two. The first one that really sort of that went, that's just amazing, is after he's done all the chores and things, so he's painted the fence and he's sanded the deck and he's washed all the cars, and he turns into a bit of a dick just for a change, and has a go at Mr. Miyagi. And then he, you know, Miyagi says to him, you know, blah, 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 and they do the little fight thing. Mm. And the realization, you can see it on his face, is like, that's really clever.
Oh, isn't that awesome?
Really good.
And I guess that would have been a really good reveal back then.
Yeah.
Because I'm watching this again today, I didn't realize how much, I mean, it has really become part of pop culture.
Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off. You know what I mean? Yeah. In primary school, you must have been doing the crane kick.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
everyone's doing the crane kick and they're doing wax on, wax off. And all right, Mr. Miyagi and things like that. You know, it became
catching flies.
Yeah, it would. But you could even get a toy. You could get a toy of chopsticks with a fly on a string. And you had to chuck
That's
it up
basically what it was anyway, wasn't it? It was a fly on a piece of piano.
No, it was a real fly. Oh, yeah, sorry, and Ralph Macchio caught it.
Yeah. Sorry.
But it was like, I don't know about you, it was everywhere when I was a kid, where there was Karate Kids action figures with a chop action, and you could break these little boards and then put them back together.
Oh, good old 80s.
Yeah, but
toys.
No, sorry, the training bit, yeah, that is cool. That realisation moment.
And it's really well choreographed as well. Because it almost becomes a dance between Daniel and Mr. Miyagi, and it's great, and I really like that. And Miyagi's really funny.
Yeah.
So that was the one of the stand-up bits for me. The second was the when he finds Mr. Miyagi drunk.
Mm.
Oh God, it was heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking.
Well, they had to fight for that, didn't they?
Did they?
So I think either a producer or the studio wanted to get rid of that scene. They said it slows the film down. Blah, 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 blah. And they were like, no, they had to really fight to keep that scene in. And it won him an Academy Award.
Did he win the award or win the nomination?
I think he got an award. Let me just double check that. And it won him an Academy nomination.
Right.
So, an award. Nice. Academy Award nomination. So best supporting actor.
And quite rightly so too, because he is, I mean, that scene is superb. It's not your typical funny drunk scene. You know straight away from the start of that scene.
The fact he's dressed in uniform.
Yeah. And yeah. It's got the picture there. And as it all comes out, the stuff about Manzanar, and I'd never heard of Manzanar, so I actually looked it up, and without getting too deep into it, did you check it out?
I've checked it out.
There were a series of concentration camps for Japanese Americans during the Second World War. They were basically rounded up and stuck into these concentration camps. Not concentration camps like we had over in Germany and stuff like that. So they were, to all intents and purposes, looked after.
Relocation centres.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But just to sort of keep an eye on... You know, obviously, America was in a major war with the Japanese. Not a great period in our history, let's admit. But to learn a bit about that as well was fascinating, but really sad as well.
And he
plays it so well.
Oh, doesn't he? I mean, he's... You see that sorrow in him that's haunted him for all these years.
Yeah.
It was because of that I had to look into, because I knew roughly how old Pat Morita was when he played this. But
he's 50, wasn't he?
Just about, yeah. I think, yeah, around, he was born in 49.
Right. Oh, so he's 40, 35?
Years active. Right. Sorry. He was born in 1932, sorry.
Right.
Oh,
so he's about 51, 52.
Yeah, and so, but Miyagi is meant to have been born before that, like in the 20s. Mm. So, because then you got the whole history of Karate Kid 2, blah, blah, blah. But so I was trying to figure out like how old Miyagi would have been during the war and stuff. And it's just fascinating.
Yeah.
And the way, as you say, the way he plays it is just, and if they'd have got rid of that scene.
It would have been a crime. An absolute crime. Because that is, for me, probably my favourite moment in the film. It's a lovely, lovely moment. It's beautifully played. And it's just, when it keeps cutting back to him asleep with the tears on his face. And Daniel really, really cares for him at that point. And that's And I just wish there were more moments like that in the film. Without dragging down the pace and all that sort of thing, making it too sentimental.
Yeah.
But that's the good thing about this scene. It's emotional without being sentimental. And that's quite a feat.
And I know we're here to talk about the first one, but that's what I do like about the subsequent sequels, is seeing that relationship with them develop.
Right.
I mean, Daniel's still always going to have a chip on his shoulder.
Somebody said that in the third one, he's just insufferable.
He's a bit of a pain in the ass. But Miyagi, again, he's just phenomenal.
He's great.
Well, I mean, we definitely need to do a deep dive on him.
Should we have a quick break then before we move on to the cast and stuff?
Yeah, I just want to say one of the highlights for me though, Daz.
Oh yeah, of course. Sorry, yeah.
Is one of my big highlights. It's that tournament. It's seeing the whole competing
stuff. The 5-minute tournament.
It's about 15
minutes.
It
goes on. It just flies away. It's so quick.
But it's just seeing like that all coming together. That final moment with those two and that crane kick being executed. I'm sorry,
illegal crane kick.
As soon as I hear that,
in the 70s.
No, I'm so happy, man. It's just the best moment. And for me, again, this is another Miyagi scene stealer. The decision to end the film on Miyagi's proud face.
Yeah, because wasn't it supposed to end with what eventually became the opening of the second film?
Yeah, so they hadn't filmed it, but yeah, it was the scene in the car park. But also, in test audiences for this, they had Daniel being carried off.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But they thought actually it's more poignant to... Because like he looks, when you see he's about to do the crane kick, and Miyagi's like, come on, do it.
It's a very static performance.
Yeah.
But it's just full of energy. And that's really impressive.
Yeah. So, I mean, that for me, the end of the film is just, it's just poetry.
Okay.
I'm so passionate about this film.
Oh, yeah. I never could have guessed.
Yeah. I mean, I could probably cock on it for the next 3 hours. So there's lots to talk about. It's, yeah, as you say, take a break and we'll look at the cast.
Sweet.
This month's special Patreon episode is available now.
This month we are looking at our top 5 80s Christmas songs.
A difficult choice, though. A really difficult choice. In the sleigh.
When in doubt, ask the wife.
Yeah, exactly. See, again, this one is not really a Christmas song, but I think it was Christmas.
I don't think you've looked at the brief, have you? If I was to tell you, a child is a king.
Yeah.
And the carolers sing.
Yeah.
The old is past, there's a new beginning.
Shaking Stevens.
No, I've gone for Mistletoe and Wine by the lovely Cliff Richard.
Christmas time, mistletoe and wine, children singing.
And just, I mean, it's just such a joy. I mean, even though it's the subject matter is so bleak.
It is, it is.
It's such an upbeat song, you know? Yeah. Like, da 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 da.
Proper good old Irish jig.
Yeah, yeah, there is. Yeah, takes me back to my roots.
Easton,
it's Christmas all over the world.
Is it really?
Yeah. As I was going, I kicked myself. I thought, I can't believe I've forgotten about this. Because it's a song that we've played throughout the year.
Quite a bit of Love Actually, I don't know.
That's not 80s.
No, it's not.
Bastard. Good choice of song, though. It's fucked up my number two choice.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, no, that's fine. Shaking Stevens, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Nice.
What a tune. Snow is falling, snow is falling.
Of course,
optimism.
Once it starts going, you're like, yeah.
It takes a while to kick in, but I love it. I absolutely love it. Try, the game will never be over
because we're keeping the dream alive. Merry Christmas.
Merry fucking Christmas.
Merry fucking Christmas. Until next time, I've been Matt.
And I am Darren.
Cheers. Cheersy.
All 80s Adventure Patreon special episodes are available via subscription from the website patreon.com/80sadventure or check out 80sadventure.co.uk for further details.
And we're back!
Yes, we are. Welcome to part two of Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure, where we are delving into the 1984 classic, The Karate Kid.
Yeah.
So this is where we get to look at the cast.
Yes.
I do have a couple of alternate castings for you.
Nice.
I think it's Mako was considered for the role of Mr. Miyagi, so but apparently was committed to making Conan the Destroyer. Also, there was so there's a lot of people that went for the role of LaRusso. So D.B. Sweeney, are you familiar with D.B. Sweeney?
No.
I've seen him in a few things. Carl Eastwood, who I've no idea.
Carl.
C. Thomas Howell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So okay. I've always liked him.
Yeah.
I can see him in it as well, actually.
Yeah.
A really young him. Yeah, definitely. Charlie Sheen turned down the role.
Charlie Sheen?
Yeah.
Well, how old would he have been? Well, I guess, I mean, he's... Ralph Macchio was, what, 21, 22 when he was making it?
Yeah.
How old would Charlie Sheen have been? Maybe a bit older. But he looks older, doesn't he? Whereas Ralph Macchio looks like a teenage boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sean Penn as well.
God, that would have been much more intense.
I think he got offered it, but turned it down because he wanted to be taken seriously as an adult actor.
Okay, fair enough.
I think probably the title as well didn't help, you know, because the film, The Karate Kid, so...
Yeah, I thought it was a bit mean that some people called it Kiddie Kickboxer.
Kiddie Kickboxer.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, it was before Macchio was cast.
Right.
Daniel LaRusso was Daniel Weber.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that.
And did you see the original name for Johnny Lawrence? No. The original name. Did you see the original name for Johnny Lawrence?
I don't think so.
Apparently, Donald Rice.
Okay.
Okay, Donald.
Hey, Donnie.
It just Donald Rice just doesn't work.
Donnie and Danny.
Nice.
That's a duo I've ever heard one.
That's it. Go on, Donnie. That's it. Sweep the leg.
Kick Danny's ass. Take him out of the box.
Body bag.
Oh, geez, I've seen the film once in my adult life.
So just a little aside is Macchio named his real life son Daniel.
Okay.
I thought that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let it go, mate. Let it go.
So those are my alternate castings.
Nice.
So do you want to start with Macchio?
It's really difficult because obviously he has to work with the script that he's got,
mm-hmm.
and he obviously plays it well.
Yeah,
it's just as a character, he's not a nice character.
As I said before, I think that's part of the reason I love it, because if he was your clear cut, I'm being bullied, I'm not doing anything to provoke or fight back. I think he needed that spark. I've never had a problem with the way Macchio plays it. Mm-hmm. I really think he's fantastic in this role. And that's it, really.
Yeah, like I say, it all comes down to how it's written, isn't it?
Mm.
But looking at his biog, he's outside of this, he's worked okay, isn't
he? He's kept busy, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a massive biog, but I guess once you're known for one role, it's going to be difficult breaking out of that.
That was the thing with the 80s. That's the problem I've got with the 80s. I love the 80s, don't get me wrong, but if you got known for something, that's it. You know, people didn't really see, like, okay, nowadays you've got Chris Evans playing Captain America, whatever else, he can go play something else. If you were playing Superman back then, no one could see you as anything apart from Superman, you know? And
I think that still happens. I think the whole getting pigeonholed still happens. You look at soap actors, how difficult it is for them to break out of anything.
Yeah.
And into something else. So I guess it still happens, but then especially with something like this.
Yes.
You're going to producers are going to think, yeah, especially when the big draw thing has gone. But, you know, luckily for him, Cobra Kai came along.
Well, yeah, but he had been working in other stuff
before that.
I mean, I saw him crop up. I mean, okay, so there's the whole How I Met Your Mother stuff, which is where this theory about, well, one
the,
of
the wrong theory, yeah.
Yeah, when that came about, oh, yeah, Daniel's the bully, blah, blah. But both Macchio and Zapka cameoed in that as themselves. So that was interesting. But then there became like a, I don't know, Macchio revival. And as I think he plays it really well. It was little things like when the car wouldn't start outside Ali's house.
Yeah.
The look he shot his mother, which is a look that many teenagers have shot
Oh,
for fuck's sake, mum. Jesus.
But that was another scene that really annoyed me as well. Yes, he's out of his depth there. He's embarrassed about the fact he's from Reseda or whatever, the poor area of town. But, you know, he's just hands in his pockets, looking down, kicking the wall until he breaks it.
Yes.
It's like, fucking hell, kid, buck the fuck up. Look him in the eye, just be honest and say, I've just moved here from New Jersey. We live in there at the moment. Fucking style it out instead of being such a stroppy little twat. That's just my issue with
the character. The thing is, Daniel doesn't change, even in Cobra Kai. Mm. So he still has that chip on his shoulder.
Right.
It's just, that's the thing with Cobra Kai, not to go on to it too much, but they really play the angles of it, which is, it's all a bit blurry. It's not cut and dry, which I think this isn't. It's not cut and dry.
Yeah, it definitely isn't. He's definitely an asshole in this. But then, like I say, I think all of the kids are assholes.
I still root for him, though.
Yeah.
And his friendship with Miyagi.
I think that's my issue with it. I don't give a shit about him. I wouldn't have given a toss if he'd lost. I think that's the problem.
I think there was a scriptwriter that was originally commissioned to work on it or something. Something I vaguely read where he wanted Daniel to
vaguely
lose.
Read.
But I think he wanted Daniel to lose at the end. Oh, okay. Right. Right, let's move on to Marita.
Oh, just superb.
Okay, and the issue you got is he stole a black belt.
He's a thief. No, I have no issue with Mr. Miyagi at all. He's great.
I cannot believe they didn't want him, though.
Well, I guess, again, if you're pigeonholed as a comedian,
yeah.
Which by that, what was it he was known as? The
Al in Happy Days?
No, he had a character called something like, God, it's playing up to that whole 70s and 80s thing.
Stereotype of,
He was known as like the hip nip or something.
Yes, yes, he was.
It was that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And it's like, for God's sake, you know, looking back now with 2020 eyes, mm-hmm. what a horrible thing to have to do to play on your ethnicity.
In order to make a living for your family. Yeah.
Horrendous. Going back to your point, I guess when you're pigeonholed in something like that, you're going to say, oh, he's just a comedy actor. It was Jerry Weintraub, wasn't it? So, no, I don't want him.
Yeah.
And then Alveston?
Yeah.
Basically, because he videos everything, doesn't he? Apparently, from what they were saying. Showed him a video of Marita doing it. And he's like, yeah, that's him. So, but that's the guy you've just fucking rejected, basically.
Yeah, it's the one you didn't want to see.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. he's superb. Absolutely superb.
And for me as well, it's that whole physicality Miyagi, the way he plays him, just so still. And it's a little bit kind of I suppose it's got elements of that whole Master Yoda thing as well, you know, that is so still until he needs to spring into action, and then he's like, right, and he just kicks ass.
But he's also very funny as well when he rocks the boat, makes him fall into the lake and pisses himself laughing. It's great.
But yeah, and there was even that reluctance at the beginning, like, look, I don't want to get involved.
Yeah.
Daniel throws a hissy and he says, all right, okay, I'll do it. And then the way he faces up to Kreese as well, you know, and
yes.
You're a pushy little bastard.
Yeah. But I liked it as well because, you know, he's got this fucking heart of gold. You know, the fact he takes his his bike out of the bin and repairs it and makes it look fucking brand new. It's
does.
Really, I know I keep saying fucking, I do apologize.
But also, I mean, as someone that during lockdown may have bought a bonsai tree, the ones he's giving. Yeah, the ones he's giving.
How is it? Is it still
yeah,
going?
It's still alive.
Nice,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still good. But the ones that he is giving to Lucille and Daniel, they're fucking expensive.
They
are worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, a bonsai tree like that, you're looking at £500 or £600.
Nice. Well, I guess, you know, if...
as you say, heart of gold. He's giving that away. He's giving away his car.
Yes. I mean, that bit, again, that bit didn't really sit well with me.
I think it's the son that he never
son
had.
Son he never had, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like, top points for Marita. He's probably... I love the film, but he, for me, is one of the best things in it.
He is the best thing in it for me. I love him. I think he's great. I really enjoyed his performance. And you know, he broke my heart. That scene that could have easily been over the top, or we talked about it in the first part, the drunk scene when we find out his backstory. It's beautifully done.
Really beautifully done. Well, okay, so I suppose his opposite, Martin Cove's Kreese.
Yeah. I've always loved him. I think he's great.
What an arsehole.
What an arsehole. But
now was he in V or something like that? Or
from what I remember, let me just have a quick look back. I think he was in Cagney and Lacey.
Yeah.
And he was sort of like the what was he called from Grease 2? So you had him in
Adrian Zemed
or... in the thing with Star Trek man. This is my brain. This is how my brain works. I have to associate things with
Star Trek, man.
TJ Hooker.
TJ Hooker.
So he was like the hunky policeman in TJ Hooker.
Right, okay.
And I think, if I remember rightly, he was like the hunky policeman in Cagney and Lacey.
Mm-hmm.
you know what I mean. You know how my brain works.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, I he was very familiar from that. But in that, he was the good guy.
He's got a lot of credits.
He really has, hasn't he?
227?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
But it was also in Rambo, playing the same sort of character. Another war veteran, asshole, mm-hmm. aggressive, blah, 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 blah.
And he's great in this. He's really
perfect,
great.
Perfect casting.
Yeah, can't fault him. I just, you love to hate him.
Yeah, and actually, I saw an interview with him, and he says that lots of people come up and say, you're great in Karate Kid, you're the person that I love to hate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, right. So, Randy Heller as Lucille.
Yeah, doesn't get much to do. Suddenly turns up at the end.
But do you know what I really like is the relationship between her and Daniel. That you can see that she's really, I don't know, trying to make things work for her son. You know,
selfishly making him move from where he doesn't want to move.
Yeah, they've moved, and also, I mean, her first job goes to shit. She then
But that's not explained in the film, is it? You have to look outside of the film to find out what happened, because she's supposed to work for some computer company.
Yeah, and then
when you see her, she's in a fucking restaurant.
Mm, I think not deleted, it's a scene that was never filmed.
Yeah. But she's great, and only like 14 years older than Ralph Macchio at the time of filming.
Something like that.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But yeah, she was lovely. She was really lovely.
I don't know much about her, I have to be honest.
I know her from this.
Yeah.
And I know her from Cobra Kai. So.
Right.
She's
in Cobra Kai as well.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah. I'm going to ruin Cobra Kai. So just.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to watch it. No, but looking at her IMDb, she's worked. She's done Desperate Housewives and Grey's Anatomy, that sort of stuff. All the usual things, Mad Men. So yeah,
some good shows.
Yeah,
nice
sort of career. I wouldn't mind.
You want Randy Heller's career?
Well, just to be in some of those shows. Oh yeah, okay. Nice. Stick them on my list.
Elizabeth Shue.
Never heard of her.
Mm-hmm.
Not very good, is she?
No, terrible.
No.
I can't believe this is her first film as well.
I know.
Well, listen, if you've listened to this podcast at all, you know that Darren and I have a mutual appreciation of Elizabeth Shue.
I've never heard of her. I've never heard of her.
And she's great in this. She plays the part well. I fell in love with her when I was a kid.
She's all right.
Is that all you've got to say about Elizabeth Shue?
She's all right, yeah. No, she's great in this. She is great. But I just think maybe they should have got in Claudia Wells instead to play her. I don't know.
Really? Imagine that as a twist of fate.
Yeah, no, she's superb. I love her. I think she's great.
She's always been a solid, dependable actress.
Yeah. And she did say in quite a few interviews. Mm-hmm. She said in quite a few interviews that she didn't think Macchio was up to playing the part, did she?
Yeah, I think I remember hearing about that. And then years later went, yeah, I was wrong, clearly. But some sort of memory somewhere that her and Macchio auditioned at Avelson's apartment or something like that.
Right, okay. I know there's lots of videos online of auditions and recalls and stuff like that. He kept a very good diary of everything they did. So that's great. And it's, looking back now. I think we lost him in I want to say 2016, but that might be complete and utter bullshit.
Who?
The director.
Oh, yeah, okay. It wasn't long ago, actually.
2017, we lost him.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Responsible for so many films.
Yes.
Well, he did all of the three, didn't he? The original three Karate Kid films.
Yeah, I don't think he was involved with the next.
Right. Yeah, it gets...
Which sort of contradicts reviews. This film, because apparently he trained her father when they were serving together. But in this film, he says, have you ever trained anyone? He says, no.
Yeah.
So, just saying.
yeah, goddammit.
Well, let's take the Cobra Kai as a whole, but first of all, let's single out Johnny, I think. That's the
Johnny,
first.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I prefer Johnny to Danny.
I like the way he plays Johnny.
Yeah, I think he is, yes, he's a hothead. Yes, he's trouble, but he is sort of wronged. He could have very well played it like a greaser character, one of the T-Birds or something, yeah. But he doesn't, and that's good. And I think he's sort of, when you first see him, what I took from him is like, he's obviously been an arsehole when he was younger, but now that he's reached a certain age and he's going into what year in school, whatever he said it was? I can't remember.
Senior.
He's basically said he's changed. He's a new character. Characters reformed, blah, 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 blah. And then he goes to speak to his the girl that he loves.
Yeah.
And finds this spawny little twat.
Take a right, check it out.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think I would have just preferred to have seen him in it.
All right, then. Well, then watch Cobra Kai. There's a lot of Johnny in that. No, but he's...
Uh-huh.
But I think he's a really good actor. Really good actor.
Yeah,
and
really good.
Yeah, apparently got quite violent in his audition for this. He was like psyched himself up and took the director by the scruff of the neck.
Nice. Again, he's worked. Maybe not to the extent that Macchio suffered with typecasting, but probably didn't do his career too much good.
I think he got to play the bully quite a lot.
Yeah. I mean, he was in Equalizer quite a lot, wasn't he? The TV series.
Love the Equalizer.
Ewa Wewa. Yeah, bit parts and other things, I suppose.
I love him. Really
going back to the thing you said about taking the director by the scruff of the neck, Martin Cove did the same, didn't he?
Did he?
He was really pissed off about being kept waiting for a decision on whether he was in the film or not, and turned down other work. And then when he turned up to his recall, was like, you take the piss, basically. I've been waiting for fucking weeks, blah, 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 blah. And then straight into the part and got the job.
Or it could be Zapka took Macchio by the neck. I don't know. It all gets lost in translation.
Okay.
But yeah, you're right. I heard about that one as well. The other boys... I mean,
a bit faceless, really. Just goons.
I kind of know them now because, yeah, just seeing them over the years. Right. But I mean, so you got Chad McQueen.
Chad.
So Steve McQueen's son.
Yes, apparently he was an arsehole on set.
Apparently so.
By all accounts. Well, we're just going by what's been said.
Just by what was said. I like Bobby because he's the
Is
one.
Is Bobby the one that says, all right, he's had enough?
He's had enough. Yes. And at the end, when he's hurt his leg, he's like, I'm really sorry. Bobby's always the one that seems to seek redemption, I guess.
But I sort of think Johnny does as well a little bit, because when he says about sweep the leg, he's questioning him then. He is questioning Crease, isn't he? It's almost like,
you have a problem
this.
With that? No, I'll do it. So I like him. I really like Bobby. He's and actually even Tommy.
Yeah.
Tommy's got that infamous line. Get him a body bag, you know. And that's suddenly become part of Karate Kid lore, you know.
Or a box, as I misquoted it.
As you misquoted, but yeah, he bless him. He passed away 2019.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's sad. Sad.
It is. It is. You got the faceless. Well, not the one that doesn't say anything.
Yes.
Yeah. So
another.
But those are the kind of Cobra Kai boys, really, aren't they?
Yeah. And there's a few other people dotted around. There's the teacher, obviously, who has like two lines.
Yes.
And, Freddy.
Yeah, Freddy, who you at the beginning of the film you thought was going to be
his
good
friend.
Mate.
Yeah, a good mate. Yeah, and then just disappears.
He just. He's that whole, it's all right, yeah, we'll come to the beach. And then
I guess that gives sort of two sides to that argument. After what happened on the beach, does he look at him as a troublemaker and think, oh, fuck that, I don't want to know him?
Yeah.
Or does he look at him as, oh, fucking hell, he's weak, I don't want to know him? So I guess that's up in the air. I go down the trouble route, just avoid him.
And, I mean, he's played very well. And, in fact, we've seen him in Beverly Hills Cop as well.
Yes, Mr. Banana Boy.
Mr. Banana Boy. And also, he's wearing a Making Bacon t-shirt, and I had one of those arrive yesterday signed by him. So, very happy about that, because to add to my Karate Kid memorabilia. I don't think there's... actually, I'd like to mention just quickly, I suppose, is Patty Johnston, who is the referee, but he also...
Pat E. Johnston.
Yeah, yeah. Not Patty.
Paddy, yeah. Oh, Paddy.
Pat Johnston, who he was the referee, but he also did...
The choreographed the fights.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, some of the fights are fantastic, and I think some of them are quite naff.
Okay.
If you're coming to this film with like a Enter the Dragon sort of...
Oh, yeah, if you're expecting...
It's not going to happen because some of the fights are quite static and slow. But some of the punches are really good. When he punches Johnny on the beach, I rewound it because did he actually fucking hit him then? I don't think he did, but it looks like he actually hit him. And there's something I saw about one of the other fights. I think Johnny does hit LaRusso at one point in one of the takes, and they kept that take in.
Oh, really?
And he was also saying, William Zadka was saying in an interview, that when she punches him in the face after the dance, she did punch him in the face every take.
Nice.
But yeah, I think the fights are sort of either really good or pretty naff.
What is interesting is the guy who played the semi-finalist, Daryl, he's called.
Daryl.
He's called Daryl, and he came up with the crane. He came up with the crane kick.
Okay. Nice.
So
the illegal crane kick.
Oh, shut up.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, for me, it's a good cast. I think it's very well cast. I know say you find some of them annoying, but is that them acting? Or
I think it's the characterisation or the way it's written rather than the actor.
Okay. Anything else?
No, nope, I'm all just right, looking then. Through for any other bits I could stick in, as it were. But no, I think that's probably it for this for me.
This brings part two to a close.
Okey-cokey.
So grab yourself a beer. We're going to do the same, and we'll see you in part three for a bit of music and
the quiz.
What's going on? Are you all right, Daz?
I'm so cold.
Why are you so cold?
I've lost my favourite Def Leppard t-shirt. Oh, if only I knew somewhere else to buy another t-shirt.
Do you know what, Darren? It's funny you should say that because we now have 80s Adventure t-shirts.
What?
Yeah. All you've got to do is head over to 80sadventure.com, click shop and see what we have on offer. It's a way of supporting the show and there's also some fun designs with a lovely 80s feel.
80s Adventure t-shirts. Oh, I'm going to go to the shop right now. Bye.
Darren, it's an online shop. And we're back. Here we are. Yes, part three of our journey.
What the fuck was that?
What? Part three of our journey.
Into I was just listening to what you were doing before.
Oh, yeah, I was doing like floaty arms. Yeah, maybe doing the crane technique. Part three of our deep delve into the Karate
Deep
Kid.
Delve.
Deep delve.
Yeah, that sounds like something you put on your back when you've got like a sprain or something. Rub in some deep delve.
Yeah, pop in some deep delve. That'd be nice.
Yes, the soundtrack then.
Yes. I'll be interested to get your thoughts on this, because I know you already said it's got 70s vibes to it.
Yes, what is there is really good. I do like it. Mm-hmm. I think it's dated for the 80s. I think it needed, in my personal opinion, it needed some electric sort of, maybe a bit of synth pop in there as well. Obviously, like I said before, we've got
They do that on the title screen, though.
Yeah.
With that ding.
But
that's the song as well.
It's a song.
Once in your life. Yeah.
I just think the music's very 70s.
So you think the orchestrations are 70s?
The actual score for the
score is 70s.
Yeah. It has a very 70s feel to it for me. It's very rocky in places.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
but when you look at things like The Towering Inferno and things like that, disaster movies and Rocky and stuff like that, they have very much a 70s sound.
Uh-huh.
And this score has that for me.
Okay.
Rather than the synth sound of the 80s.
I like the Feel the Night stuff.
Feel the Night stuff?
Yeah, like, you know, the song, Can You Feel the Night? Yeah. But that gets scattered throughout the Ali and Daniel romance.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many songs in this film.
You've got some cracking songs.
Yeah, some really good songs. Like I said, Survivor's in there with The Moment of Truth, Bananarama, Cruel Summer, which is one of the best songs of the 80s, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'll agree.
The original stuff is good. And actually, Bill Conti does use, I'm guessing it was his decision to use, or maybe a music supervisor to use, a bit of Mendelssohn in there as well, when they're on the beach.
Yeah.
So that's it's an interesting choice. I don't think it fully works. I think it stands out a bit as a bit bizarre.
It doesn't for me, because that's where I first heard it.
Right, okay. fair enough.
So that, do you know what I mean? It's when you first hear something or first, yeah.
Yeah.
For me, it's Daniel's Courage, which is that end bit of music with the kick and then Mr. Miyagi's Proud Moment. That's a beautiful piece of music.
Right.
And it's on my gym playlist.
Of course it is.
Of course it is.
But yeah, I mean, it's not a bad score, not by any, it wouldn't be with Bill Conti.
He's great, isn't he?
Oh, he's superb. And if anyone's not heard his Rocky score, before.
But that's the thing, he does create iconic scores. I mean, I'm guessing the general public might not be able to pick the Karate Kid score out of anything, out of a lineup, you know?
Yeah, I guess there's nothing that memorable about it.
No.
But,
I mean, as soon as I hear the first bar, though, I know that's Karate Kid. I'm like, yep, that's it. That's Karate Kid.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Joe Public, probably not.
Yeah, there's no big themes. You go, all right, E.T., Jaws,
Karate Kid.
Yeah. But they would.
When you put it like that, Darren.
But they would with Rocky. So, you know, so Bill Conti is definitely capable of that sort of recognisable piece of music. I just don't think it's here in this film.
Well, that's interestingly, they do use motifs and themes from this in Cobra Kai.
Okay.
No, not to cock on about it, but what I'm saying is, and for me as a fan, it just brings back these memories.
It's a nice little
thing,
a nod to
when they, yeah, when they bring the themes back, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's from the original. Yeah. That's from the original. And I love the soundtrack.
Yeah. Yeah, like I say, it's not a bad soundtrack at all. For me, it's not what I would have expected from an 80s film.
There's one particular moment which is completely 80s.
Yeah.
Joe Esposito.
Never heard of him. Yeah, what a song that is.
Isn't it cracking?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we've got to talk about the fact it wasn't originally for this film.
No, but that doesn't matter.
So, from what I understand, was it Rocky III?
I think it was Rocky III, and it was rejected for Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah.
Sorry, You're the Best.
Yeah.
I don't think we actually said the song, did we?
We did not say the song, You're the Best.
Which has made a resurgence recently, in the last couple of years, in an advert.
Yeah.
I
don't like it when adverts do that. They ruin my childhood.
You're the best. Around. Oh, it's a great song. It's a really good song.
It's a brilliant song, and that song is still great today.
Yeah, it's up there with Journey's "Don't Stop Believing" and actually "Survivor's Eye of the Tiger."
So, and that synth sound you're talking about, is it Rhythm Man? You're Rhythm Man. It appears throughout.
Yeah, Rhythm Man by St. Regis. I mean, to be fair, Bill Conti didn't write that many of the actual songs in the film. He wrote The Moment of Truth.
I mean, The Moment of Truth, it's all right, but it is an end credit song. It's that sort of...
Feel the Night.
I love Feel the Night.
Obviously, he wrote You're the Best, so that's great. But that's it in terms of the original songs in the film.
I didn't know he actually wrote Feel the Night. Feel the Night, sorry, You're the Best.
Yeah, and produced it as well. And performed by Joe Esposito.
Wasn't it Joe the Bean or Joe Bean Esposito or something?
I have no idea. Yeah. Was it really? Okay. I don't know much about Joe Esposito, to be honest.
It's a cool name, though, isn't it?
Yeah. So what? Apparently he's done 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown.
Well, yeah definitely. Anything more you want to say?
Sometimes, you know, we can cock on for hours about a score to a film. But this, for me, it didn't grab me by the balls. Let's put it that way. I liked it. I didn't think it was bad in the slightest. And you know, You're the Best and other songs like that. Fantastic. But the score itself, I think, was a bit lacking.
Okay. I mean, I've got it. In fact, I think before, you know, streaming services, I had it on CD.
Okay.
And yeah, it's just, again, it's something I grew up with.
Nice.
So yeah, that being said, I mean, I love it. But then again, this whole film for me, I'm sat here with my rose tinted glasses on.
Of course. That's the way it's going to be for some of the films we do, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is a film you're very passionate about, and I'm aware of that. But for me, it's...
Are you?
You might have mentioned it a few times.
Yeah. For goodness sake, look at our podcast art.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So I suppose that's the music covered.
Oh, dear, yeah. We know where we're going now, don't we?
We do know where we're going. And this week I intend to strike first, strike hard, no mercy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's definitely a film in that.
Oh, yeah.
Eyes down for a full house.
Okay.
Oh, you asshole. I've got to get a picture of this for the website.
As we go into quiz.
All right, this is me taking a picture right now during recording.
Yeah.
You can see the hooch in the corner.
Right. So I've just got ready for quiz by wearing a Karate Kid headband. I have brought one for you, though.
No, you're all right.
You sure?
Yeah, fine, thanks.
I thought I could not do this quiz without wearing...
your headphones.
Without wearing the headphones. Without wearing the Karate Kid headband. So I thought, nice. It's got to be done.
With headphones now as well.
Okay, here we are, smiling for a photo. So, let's do it, mate.
But anyway, back to the job in hand, as it were. As it stands, after last week's stalemate.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
We're at 5-4?
5-4.
Is that right?
I have to win this week to and stand
next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I win this week, then we've got a big face-off next week for a film which is going to be very interesting.
yeah, to be fair, neither of us know much. Hang on, I don't know what film it is. Shut up. I think you're going to win this week. I can say that with a certain degree of confidence.
That kind of puts more pressure on it, though, doesn't
it? It's good.
Okay. Right then, so I guess as we're an odd number, it's me starting.
Yes, yeah.
So I've got to strike first. So are you ready for your first question, Darren?
Yes, I'm ready for you to win the quiz, yes.
Okay, I'm going to try and pitch it, because you say you've watched this once?
As an adult, yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So I can't go too harsh, can I?
Yes, you will, of course you will.
Okay, just nice, something which you probably clocked, and maybe is one of your questions. As Daniel is taunting the Cobra Kai boys.
At which point?
He enlists the help of a teacher. What's that teacher's name, please?
Oh, see, one of the things I didn't think about. Mr. Dennison, I don't know.
You were half right with Mr. it's Mr. Harris.
Ah, Mr. Harris. Okay. Okay, so that's one to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my first question to you then. See, I think you've, now that we know sort of the sort of questions that we ask each other, I think you've probably gone through and just gone, yeah, you'll ask that. After Daniel's birthday, what two games does Ali play at the arcade?
She plays, I want to say, Shoot Away.
Right.
And Pac-Man.
I saw you looking at your screen then. That's one of your
questions. I promise it's not there.
I'm not going to look now. I might see questions. Okay, yeah, Shoot Away and Pac-Man.
Okay. I had to think, because I had to Google it earlier, because I didn't know if Shoot Away was an instruction or the actual game.
Right.
So I had to Google it, I had to find out that it was, and I was even trying to find out the hockey game name.
Nice.
So, okay, on the games list then.
Yes.
With the hockey game, what two teams were playing?
America and Russia.
Yes.
Thank God I noticed the Russia when I was writing it down last night. Woo! Okay, second question then.
Uh-huh.
Who does Johnny fight in the quarterfinal?
Who does Johnny fight in the quarterfinal?
Yeah.
Fuck, man. I'm not sure I know this, you know.
Okay. Is that your final answer?
No. I mean, I know he fights in the semi-final, but not who he fights in the quarterfinal.
It's there on the board at the very end, right behind them.
Oh, is it?
Yes, it is.
Fucker. you might have helped me there then.
Okay.
How much time have I got?
it says I'll be home anytime now.
The quarterfinal, he will be fighting. No, I've only got the semi-final. So okay. I've got to say Daryl Vidal.
No. Espinosa, whoever that is.
Was it really?
Yeah, that's what it says.
No idea.
Okay, that's 2-2 then. Wow, wasn't expecting that.
I know. Fuck you going for the quarterfinal.
Well, it's too obvious going for the semi-final.
Oh, dear. All right. Okay, so they've had a bit of a date. They've had a bit of fun, Daniel and Ali.
Right.
Guy pulls up in a car.
Yeah.
What's he called?
Chad. I don't know.
Eddie.
Okay. Where's my pen? Right. 3 to you then. Now. See, I'm really taught. I'm tempted not to go for a quote this week.
Well, you're going to break tradition.
Oh, I don't know, because I know you know this film so well.
But that's, you know, you just got to play the game as you play it. You know, this is a story about comebacks. I need this comeback, Darren.
Okay, then, just so that you don't cry. Third question for me, as always, is a complete the quote.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mr. Miyagi.
Right.
He says, make block, left, right, up, down, side, side, breathe in, breathe out.
What?
Make block, left, right, up, down, side, side, breathe in, breathe out.
No idea.
Oh.
Absolutely no idea.
Oh, really?
I know exactly the bit you're talking about, but right. I have no idea what comes next.
And No Scare Fish.
Oh, no, I didn't know the bit you're talking about.
Oh, really?
It's okay. On the boat, isn't it? Yeah.
Be odd somewhere else. Maybe we're in the chippy.
Yeah,
at the
but
time.
There was no fish. Yeah,
I thought
you're talking about the bit where they're in the yard.
Ah, right. Okay. Oh God, that's three each then.
Oh, fuck's sake.
To be honest, I thought it was going to be a whitewash. I think it was going to be six.
No. That's what I'm saying, because I love this film, but I've not gone into.
Well, obviously not enough, Matt.
No. Not enough to look at the quarterfinalists, yeah. But the semi-finalists, yeah.
Okay, well, I'll scrap that question then.
Okay. What's the pizza place called at Golf and Stuff?
See, I want to say pizza and stuff, but it's not, because that's just... No, it's... Echoes.
Echoes what?
Echoes pizza and stuff.
Yes.
Oh, jeebus. Oh, drama. Right. Fucking hell. Which one do I go for? I've got so many written down.
Yeah. Well, we might need it at this rate.
I won't be a bastard, and that's what sort of make the truck was.
I need this. I need this.
I could be a real bastard and ask that, but no, I won't. What's the address of their new home?
What is in the actual road?
No, where they moved to.
I can fucking see it, Darren. I even noted down the number.
Right.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to think about this because I can't lose. I know it's two S's. All the fucking questions.
See, I thought that was really obvious.
Yeah,
I thought it is.
Yeah. It's one of those that I'm going to kick myself for not knowing because I know it.
Right. There's a lot of pain on his face right now, but I think he's just realised what it is.
No, I haven't.
Oh, no, I thought you just got it.
I'm going to get it wrong. I'm going to get it wrong. And I should be ashamed.
Yeah. 5 minutes later.
I can't lose this.
Well, we can't wait all night.
Okay, good point. I can tell you the fucking address of it. It's 1-2-2. It's like Violet Street or something. Sun. Oh, fuck's sake. I know it's wrong, but it's like something like Sun Suite or something like that.
Okay. Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
It's number 20, South Seas Apartments.
South Seas.
So, yeah, you were right with double S. Oh, my God. I was not expecting that at all. Okay, then.
I kind of was.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't go too harsh.
No.
I could have done.
What were your harsh ones? Just out of curiosity.
My harsh ones. What was the street that he ran out of to go to school on his first day?
That he ran out of?
Yeah. When you see him run out in front of a school bus.
He doesn't run out. He's on his bike.
Oh, wait. When he's on his bike.
Oh, right. I don't know.
Philiprim Street.
Oh, nice.
Whatever that is. What sort of car does his mum drive?
A 1969.
Yeah. So I did good to avoid that. Chevy Chevelle.
Yeah,
Malibu.
That's it. Malibu. Yeah.
The football jersey that he wears, what number and what team is it for?
It's number 89.
Yep.
And it's the San Diego... I want to say Chargers or something?
That's yeah, that's it. Yeah. Who does LaRusso fight in the quarterfinal?
Dutch.
Dutch, yeah. What institute is behind or across the street from Cobra Kai?
I thought it was a bank or something.
Yeah, First Interstate Bank. What does the, the billboard behind the bank say?
No idea.
Want a good time, hockey puck?
Nice.
What's the company that provides the school buses?
I clocked this, but then I forgot to write it down. Burke or something like that.
Brock Bus Lines. What date is the championship? The final
19th December.
What date's his birthday?
18th December.
How much does lunch cost? Both costs?
$2.50 and $3.75. Yeah,
what does the sign say that in the apartment car park?
Something about vandalism or...
Oh, maybe we should have asked that. I thought it's better to write that down. Help, stop vandalism and theft. Protect school grounds. Los Angeles City Schools.
Yeah, that was weird as well. Because I thought, is there an apartment adjacent to the school then?
Maybe just that bit of ground belongs to the school. Yeah, I guess so. Where did Mr. Miyagi get his belt and how much was it?
JCPenney, $3.98. See, I know a lot. It's all about which questions you ask, though, isn't it?
What date did Mrs. Miyagi and his unborn son die?
2nd November 1944.
7th of November 1944.
I think it's the 2nd.
What's the car reg on the car that he gives him?
Oh, we see. You can't really see that. I had to go on a deep dive to find a Karate Kid model kit. It's right. I think it's INK 270 or something like
207.
That.
207. Yeah. Yep. Who are the four semi-finalists in the fight?
Johnny Lawrence, Daniel LaRusso, Bobby Brown, and
Bobby Brown. He's a bit of a fighter from what we've heard.
And Daryl Vidal.
Yep. And what was the name of the company that she moved to LA to work for?
Rocket Computers or yeah. Flight of the Future, something fancy uh-huh. like that.
Nice.
So basically, most other questions I would have got.
Where do they have the dance?
At the Encino Oaks Country Club.
Yeah. So I think I went for the right questions this week then. Mm. Yeah. Go for that.
So, I've got some for you.
Well, I'm going to get all of these wrong probably.
Well, okay. How deep was the swimming pool? See, I didn't go for...
2 metres.
No. I put 8 feet, so maybe yeah, it's...
No, that's 2 metres is 6'6".
So, who did... So, they said actually more like Uncle Louie, but the old lady downstairs reminded Daniel's mum of...
I don't remember.
Aunt Tessie. Which high school did they go to?
West Valley?
Yep. How many years was John Kreese a karate champion in the US Army?
17.
2.
Oh.
It says on the wall, like, 1970, 1972. Who were the friends that Daniel made at camp when he went away and got poison ivy?
Don't know.
Kevin and Kenny. What was on Ali's books as she was walking through the school with Daniel?
Love Hearts.
Algebra 2.
No, I did see that. Yeah, yeah. That was a file, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Which Chinese restaurant was Daniel referencing? Yeah, when he said, I thought this place was nice, but this is really, really cool. When he looks at Mr. Miyagi's back garden, so to speak.
I don't know. Not the Orient Express where his mum works, no.
Chungnese.
Oh, yeah.
And also, yeah, what karate club did Daryl Vidal belong to?
I have no idea.
Locust Valley.
Well, obviously.
So there we are.
Yeah, I chose the right questions this week.
You and chose I chose the wrong ones.
Yeah.
Well, so, Darren, do you know what that means? For the third group in a row, you are the winner.
Yeah, but we still got next week to do.
I can't win.
Maybe we could do it for 2 points.
Ooh.
Just throw down a challenge there.
All right.
Because to be fair, neither of us know the film that well.
Well, what film, Darren?
I don't know. You tell me.
So, yeah, as it stands then, 6-4.
Yeah.
It's getting closer, no? Is it? I don't know.
Well, if we do 2 points for next week, potentially you could draw.
Okay.
Which spells big trouble. Why did I say that? It was a whole fucking host of extra work.
Here we go. So join us next week, folks, to find out how that ends.
Yeah.
So last orders?
Sounds good to me.
Last orders at the bar, please. Last orders at the bar.
So then before we find out what the film is going to be next week, I guess we should score this mm-hmm. and maybe give a little sum up.
Yeah. I mean, I knew I was going to love it again.
Yeah.
Always will. I'll always watch it. It's never going to be, it's going to be a no-brainer. It's always going to be a 10 for me. But it was just nice to, I don't know, just to live in this world again. And also to catch up on this before, I mean, I'll have seen it by now, but before watching season 3 of Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
So it's good. And I'm just really glad that you enjoyed it as well. I mean, that's nice.
I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would.
Because if you like something, you want your friends to like it too. Yeah,
yeah,
just
of course.
Validation. It's just, more just like, actually, no one wants to hate a film, do they?
No, exactly. And that's not why we're here. We're not here just to badmouth a film.
No.
It'd be fucking boring every week. But yeah, I did approach it it with a certain amount of, well, not trepidation, because it's just a bloody film I'm watching. But remembering that it wasn't a favourite, I was a bit like, okay, yeah, we'll do it, blah, blah, blah. And I actually sat there last night and quite enjoyed it. It's a good film. As I say, I only looked to be watched once. And that sounds like I'm being sort of damning with faint praise, but it's not. Because sometimes I get very bored in films I love. And I say, okay, yeah, but only the once. And yeah, I enjoyed it. It was all right.
You sound surprised that you enjoyed it.
I was, yeah, because I honestly expected to not enjoy it. To enjoy it as an 80s movie, but not enjoy it as much as I actually did. I think that's the
thing. That's good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm going to give it 10 out of 10 because I have to. I can't.
Right. Seriously?
Yeah. For me, it's a tech because I'm that rose-tinted on it that...
But not even being a...
Fuck that.
Okay.
I just can't put it below some of the films that I
must
have given...
You recognise the obvious faults with it.
But what faults?
It's cheesy. It's formulaic. Mm-hmm. It's
yeah.
I mean, there's so many awful bits, like the slow mo bit after she's handled his football on the beach. It's terrible.
Handles his football on the beach.
There are bits like that, and
but I like that.
Okay,
I really like that. I mean, that whole beach scene for me is amazing.
Jesus. Okay.
No, I have to. I cannot not give this 10 because. I would be remiss because, I mean, I've given out a few 10s recently. I mean, we gave one out at Christmas time. Yeah. And this one has to sit up there with it because it holds that special a place in my heart. And the heart is going to have to win on this one, I'm afraid.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to be honest and say, you know, the bits that worked and bits that didn't. I don't like the lead character. I think it would have worked better without him in it. But I love Mr. Miyagi. Some of the performances are great. Some of the fights are great. Some are not so good. So I'm going to go straight down the middle. Give it a 5.
That's a 6, though, isn't it? Because you said Bananarama gives an extra point.
No, it would have been a 4, but 5.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
5?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's straight down the middle for me.
That's fair enough. And it's probably not a film you'll go back to, is it?
No, not in a rush. But I will watch again. Well, it's not when I'll go... It's not Mannequin.
And at some point, we will have to Karate Kid 2.
At some point.
So, next week, folks, we have Karate Kid 2. Now...
But with Matt and somebody else doing 80s Adventure.
Matt and Matt's 80s Adventure. Matt's Karate Kid Wankathon. Yeah, so essentially. Right, well, I suppose all that's left to do is to see what we're doing next week.
Yeah, and I'd like to find out.
Oh, would you?
Yeah.
Oh, would you?
Well, I wouldn't mind, since I don't know.
Okay, so the tagline for next week's film, you don't know my ass. Okay,
I know your ass. Someone knows your fucking ass.
All right. The tagline is, if it had a mind, you could reason with it. If it had a face, you could look it in the eye. And if it had a body, you could shoot it.
If it had a mind, you could reason. Boris Johnson.
Wrong. Next.
If it had a face, you could punch it.
No, if it had a face, you could look it in the eye.
Oh, I was going to say Piers Morgan. But, I wonder what that could be. I don't know.
You do.
I'm looking forward to it because it's a film I don't know that well.
I don't know this. I've never seen it.
Right.
I've definitely never seen it.
Oh, you're going to hate it. I know you're going to hate it.
Probably.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Maybe I'll hate it. Maybe I'll just enjoy it because I've got a feeling this is going to be very tacky.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm just looking at the synopsis. Yeah, it looks very tacky.
It's a remake of a B movie. Let's put it that way.
Oh my goodness. And yeah, okay. I recognise some of the cast.
Oh, Kevin Dillon's quite a big... Don't want to give anything away. What? You have to check out our Facebook page, etc.
On Wednesday
to find out what the film's going to be.
Yes.
Unless you've figured it out already. Maybe you're a massive fan of this remake of a 50s B movie.
Oh my God. Yeah, do you know what? This is unlike anything we have done so far. Yeah. So I'm very much looking forward to travelling to... Oh, not 19 bloody 88. Not more facts from 1988.
Well, all I can say is... before we recorded tonight's podcast, we went through the list of the films that we've got basically on the list. And I wrote down 3 and I said to Matt, choose a number. He chose number 2 and this one was number 2 on the list.
And hopefully it won't be number 2.
It might be a big pile of steaming number 2s. We'll find out.
Well, I suppose that's it from us this week. Unless there's anything else from you, Daz?
No, I don't think so. Looking forward to carrying on into 2021.
Yes, yeah. Hopefully you're having a good dry January.
Yeah.
And we will catch you next week. Until then, I've been Matt.
And I am Darren.
Cheers.
take it you've seen it.
Oh, the James Smith one?
Yeah.
Not real.
The reviews are okay for it, though.
But they're doing Kung Fu. It's called The Fucking Karate Kid, and they're doing Kung Fu.